James. Now, James was the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. James was not one of the original 12 disciples. He was the half-brother of Jesus and didn't become a follower of Jesus until after the resurrection and the ascension of his elder half-brother Jesus, okay? And so, although he didn't have those 3.5 years of intense Bible study and indoctrination that the other disciples had, he soon came up to speed and rose to become the pastor of the church at Jerusalem, which was the church that most of the disciples attended. Okay, you want to talk about a hard gig. Okay, here you are, not one of the original in crowd, and now you're the pastor of the church that these mighty pastors, Peter went to that church, I mean, everybody went to that church. And that's who James was. James was referred to by the apostles as old camel knees. We often think that everybody is so serious in God's Word. It's interesting that the Bible is full of times of levity, okay? And even God had times when he just felt like something, doing something totally off the wall. The Bible says he created the sea monster for his own sport. He says, you know what these seas need? It's a good sea monster. All right? I don't know if he made a whole species of sea monsters that, you know, went on for generations, or maybe he just wanted to have fun with one particular sea monster, but that's what, you know, that's what he did. And so the disciples had little nicknames for each other, and James' nickname was Old Camel Knees, because James spent so many hours every day on his knees praying. And you kneel down on solid rock floors long enough, and that's just going to go ahead and chew the living fire out of your knees. But James was a prayer warrior. When it came time for him to finally meet Jesus in his resurrected body, when it came time for him to die, they threw him off the pinnacle of the temple. He fell several hundred feet to the stone courtyard below, but that didn't kill him. And he crawled back up on his knees and started to pray. And then they came along and killed him. So, you know, this was somebody who believed in prayer. And he was the first recorded pastor, you know, that we have in the Word. And so he's writing this epistle. And I like studying James because he's just so practical in what he says. And so he's talking to his congregation. All right, and then, yeah, there are a lot of people of renown, men of renown in his congregation, the apostles, the early church fathers, and all of that. But for the most part, the church was made up of people just like you and me. People who have come to hear the gospel message that Jesus died for our sins. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so the church was full of people like that. And here is Pastor James teaching them here in the opening verses of his little letter. And he says, every generous act of giving and every perfect gift, every good gift, every perfect gift, it comes from above, from our Father of lights. And so he's encouraging us that everything that comes to us is coming to us through our Heavenly Father. All right? In another place, the Bible says that God is able to turn all things to our good. All right? To those who believe in God who are called according to his purpose. And so, yeah, sometimes bad things happen. All you have to do is read the book of Job to find out that, yeah, bad things happen to God's people. All right? But God is always making sure that the outcome is for his glory. Amen? And so, and the other little promise that's here that tells us from the Father of Lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of change, shadow of turning. And so you need to know that the God that James and Jesus and Peter and Paul and all these people served 2,000 years ago is the same Father God that we serve today. He's not changed any. You know, we are told that the gospel must be progressive and it must change to meet the needs of society. Au contraire, horsehair, is one of Terry's favorite sayings. No, society changes to meet the needs of the gospel. The gospel doesn't change. Amen? And so we know if our God was a healing God 2,000 years ago, then He's a healing God today. And as the song that Carol sang, she knows the peace speaker. I don't know if you got that. The peace speaker. And in the midst of the storm, Jesus spoke to the storm, peace, be still. All right? And that same Jesus can speak to the storms around you today. As a matter of fact, I had one professor in seminary suggest that there are two audiences for that word that Jesus spoke when he said, peace, be still. And that he spoke to the disciples and said, peace. Then he spoke to the winds and the waves and said, be still. Scripture doesn't bear it out either way. But it's an interesting thing to think about, isn't it? Because were they all excited about the good things God was doing at that very moment? No, they thought they were going to die. They had given up all hope. All thoughts of faith-induced miracles are out the window, and, you know, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die? And Jesus, oh, no, I came to earth and brought you guys into my inner circle just to kill you off. No. And so he is the same God today as he was 2,000 years ago. All right, but then, now this is Pastor James speaking. He's speaking to his congregation, just like I'm speaking to you today. And he's talking about what is it like to live a Christian walk, to be a Christian. Of course, they hadn't heard the word Christian yet in Jerusalem. That came from someplace else. Christian meaning little Christ, all right? These were believers at this point of time in Jerusalem were either called believers or followers, okay? Christian hadn't reached them yet. And so, he comes along and he says, you must understand this. And this is an imperative. He doesn't say, I want to tell you something, and it would be really great if you got a hold of this. He said, folks, you've got to understand this, that you must be, let everyone be quick to listen. And my daddy told me, I'm sure your daddy told you, God gave you two ears and one mouth. Right? That means we do twice as much listening as we do speaking. Right? And so that's what James is saying here, that we must be quick to listen. Because I have not seen a group of people that will pick up an offense quicker than a room full of Christians. All right? That's just, it's kind of like we're just waiting for somebody to step on our toes. And that wasn't quite it, but hey, I'll take it. And I'm going to get mad. All right? I said hi to Chuck coming in, and he didn't say hi back. Or I held the door open for so-and-so, and they didn't say thank you. All right? And James is saying, be slow, be very slow to speak, slow to anger. Be quick to listen. There's something else there. Do you know what the best gift that each of us could have, aside from the gift of salvation? The gift of a student spirit, a learning spirit. If you have a learning spirit, every day of your life is a new adventure in Christ. If you have a learning spirit where you say, I do not know everything there is to know about being a Christian, and so I am here to learn today. I told you, when I got out of seminary, I've got 2 advanced degrees. I got 2 doctorates. Yahoo! I'm smart. I wrote my own systematic theology because, folks, after all those years in college, I knew what the Bible had to say. I knew how God would react in any and every situation, and it was my duty to reveal all of this divinely inspired knowledge to the rest of the church. And so I wrote my own systematic theology. And for the next 2 years, God took great joy in dashing my work to smithereens. Oh, I'm going to do this? Yeah, watch this. And because you can't pigeonhole God. All right, there are some generalities. We can talk about angelology, the study of angels, and what the Bible has to say, and all that. But to say this is how God is going to respond in any given situation, you don't know that. We know that He is going to do what is the absolute best for us in that situation. We can depend on that, all right? And so my prayer for each of us is to have a learner's spirit, a learning spirit. And when you have that, there is always something new. If you don't have a teachable spirit, well then, you will very quickly give way to bitterness. You know it all, and people don't appreciate you for knowing it all, and therefore, they're all morons, and you alone, with Jesus, are here to fight the good fight. That is so self-centered. All right, none of us know it all. I gave up trying to know it all. Because the more that I learned about God, the less I knew about God. All right? So right now, I can say without a shadow of a doubt, Jesus loves me. I can tell you that without any error, any hesitation. Jesus loves me. And therefore, whatever He does in my life, is what's best for me. All right? I can't explain. I love watching young pastors get up in funerals and try to explain the death of a baby or something like that. You know, I'm saying, just shut up. You're not going to do it. Oh, God needed another angel in heaven. Let me tell you what you just did to mama. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, God decided He needed another angel in heaven, and that's why He took this little baby. Oh, boy, I have counseled more families after a statement like that, and not that I have. God, thank you for delivering me from that old paw. But anyhow, all right, so slow to speak and slow to anger. Now, it doesn't say don't get angry, because the Bible in other places says be angry, but sin not. Anger is a justifiable, what? Emotion. And God, we were reading Wednesday night. God got emotional when Israel left Him and went, let's see, what word did He use? Whoring after other gods. Was God upset? Yeah. Okay. All right. So, slow to anger, because your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Alright? Because as soon as somebody does something to you, what do you want to do? You want to balance the books. Oh, He said that? Oh, she did that? Oh, let me take care of this little injustice. And it can never replace what God wants to do in that person's life. And that's why the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. It's God's purview to balance the books, not ours. Amen? And so He just take a deep breath, all right, be quick to listen, slow to speak, because this right here will get you in trouble every time. It does. What does the Bible say? Oh, men have built great big sail ships, and a little tiny rudder can tell that ship to go wherever we want to, and we still can't control the tongue. All right? And that's true. And I tell you what, if you've got to bite your tongue or bite your lip or bite whatever, your hand, don't say it. Because you can't ever undo it. You can't ever unsay it. Funny little story. Tara and I were sitting listening to music. This is before we were husband and wife. And I just turned to her just to say something in conversation. And out of my mouth came, "Will you marry me?" And as soon as I said it, "Who said that?" And so Terry looked at me with this shocked look. And so now I'm having to say, "Don't give me an answer right away. Think about it first. Please say no. Please say no." Once you say it, you can't unsay it. All right, I mean, just this comes out. Thank God she didn't answer right away, but she did answer in the affirmative after a while. So that's how we've been together for 53 years now. All right, so be careful, because slow to speak, because as soon as it comes out, you can't take it back. Okay? All right. And let me see, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself. Now, this is what it's saying. Get rid of these activities. And what these are things that you can make the decision, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do it. It is totally up to you. You can't blame it on the devil if you do it. You can't blame it on God if you do it or don't do it. These are things that are totally under our control. All right, rid yourselves of all sordidness. Okay? That means sordidness. Speech and activities that are not pure. We don't tell dirty jokes. All right? And that's hard to do. We don't make crude comments. President Trump made some crude comments, and they're still coming back to bite him. All right? Because what? Once you say it, it doesn't, you can't take it back. All right? And rank growth of wickedness. You know, we had a saying, I mean, from the various days of the infancy of computer, garbage in, garbage out. All that the computer can do is process the information you give it. If you give it garbage information, then what are you going to get back? Garbage out. All right. And in the same way, what we surround ourselves with is what we fill ourselves with. You know, we have these little alcohol things, hand wash things around the building. Okay, and what is the active ingredient? What kills the germs? The alcohol. When these things first came out, I got the biggest kick out of them. When they first came out, they put them in all the daycare centers, and the daycare center teachers thought, this is the neatest thing since bubble gum, because we're always making the kids wash their hands, and now we can just tell them put some of this stuff in, and rub it in real good. And these kids were doing this, you know, every 15 minutes or whatever, washing their hands, and mom and dad had come to pick up the kids, and the kids were just kind of, you know, because the kids were absorbing it transdermally. Alcohol can be absorbed through your skin. Okay? So the kids were wasted. Drunk. Alright? They had been intaking alcohol, not orally, but through their skin. So, you don't have to drink it. You just have to be near it. Okay? And so that's why when we want to clean up our act, you need to ask yourself, what am I around all the time? Now, most of you know that I was in law enforcement over in Arkansas. And back in the 70s, in Arkansas, we still had segregation. And we had, what were the signs? Colored. I know it's not the polite thing to say, but that's what the sign said. Drinking fountains, washrooms, toilets, whatever, it was still segregated. And those people were still, this little backwoods town that we were in, they're still fighting the war. Carrie went to the Piggly Wiggly for some groceries, and as soon as she opened her mouth, the kid that was bagging the groceries said, "I'm not bagging groceries for no blankety-blank Yankee." Okay? So that's the environment that we're in. And here I am, I'm working for the county judge in a certain capacity, and so I'm hanging out with the other people in law enforcement, and it was bad. It was really bad. It was so bad in town that when it came sundown, you would not find any blacks outside of their area of town. Because if you were caught outside of your area of town, you were fair game. I went to, we had a body recovered from the Arkansas River, which flowed through this town, and here is this black man that was wrapped in chain, logging chain. And so I talked to the detective that was there with the story here, and he used a slang term that I'm not going to use, starts with an N, y'all know what I'm talking about. He says, "Poor old tried to steal more chain than he could swim with." Okay? That's what the attitude was. It was bad. And I ultimately had to leave because it was starting to infect me. And I said, you know, it's not worth it. I mean, the reason that this judge brought me in was noble and all that good stuff, but man, this is bad news. All right? And we used to joke, you know, the entrance requirements for getting on this particular sheriff's department, you got to be able to hitch up your gun belt and say, "Y'all, a heap of trouble, boy. You're in." That was the entrance requirement. And so I had to escape that. And all the time, I'm also the youth pastor at the Assembly of God Church. All right? And that was the environment that I was in. And finally, we said, we have to get out of here. This is not the right thing to be. And it starts to affect the way you think. And it starts to affect the way that you're responding. And you can't do that. And so, as Pastor James would say, you don't do this. And if you've got to get out of that situation, you get out of that situation because you don't need to be acting that way. But then he says, but be doers of the word and not merely hearers. Just don't sit in the pew and say, amen. He says, if the word is getting in, it's going to affect your actions. You're going to be a doer of the word, not a hearer of the word. As a matter of fact, Pastor James says, not merely hearers, who deceive themselves. But what does he mean by that? I don't know. Does it mean that Pastor James thinks that they're probably not even Christians? They like to think that they're Christians, but all they do is hear and they don't ever do? I don't know. Or maybe they're deceiving themselves into thinking, I'm doing a good job for Jesus because I'm in church on Sunday morning. All right? But I'm not letting the Word of God, you know, be doers of the Word. All right? So there's something for us to think about. I thank God for all the activities that we have and how you guys are able to say God bless you and to greet people and let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify the Father. There aren't any chameleon Christians in this church because you're living your Christian beliefs out in front of the whole world. And you know what? You might get some grief for it. People might make fun of you because of it. Because they don't have the same convictions that you do. And then, I want to go to this last thing here. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, they're deceived in their hearts. All right? Their religion is worthless. And here is something that James is bringing out. There's a difference between a relationship and a religion. Personally, I'm not religious. I have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. All right? Jesus didn't come to give the world another religion. We've got too many. One religion is one too many. All right? And so James is saying, if you want to call yourself religious, then it says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to care for the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. In other words, you have your relationship with God that controls you, and then your religion is the way that you express yourself. And the way that you express yourself, Jesus said, you want to do it in a way that pleases God? You take care of the widows and the orphans. You take care of people that are in need. And you keep yourself undefiled by the world. That's why Pastor Dale had to get out of Dodge. All right? Because our presence there was defiling me. So I had to get out of there. All these things that James is talking about are things that we make a choice to do. The hardest is to be slow to speak. That's the hardest one. All right? Strongest muscle in your body per pound. Those right there. Per pound, that's stronger than your calf muscles, your glutes. Arm muscle, that's the strongest one right there. Because it has the most exercise, doesn't it? Alright? And so to try to keep this thing shut is not the easiest thing in the world because it's used to doing this. Alright? And so what James is saying, you want to be truly religious. God doesn't like the word religious. But if you want to use the word religious, this is the way that you do it. And you do these things over which you have a choice to do them or to not to do them. Okay? And so it's so important. When I'm teaching, I teach search and rescue in the Air Force. And one of the things that I'm doing is I will teach my young people, I said, you always keep your head on a swivel. You're always doing this. You always keep your eyes open and you keep your mouth shut. All right? And the reason is, we even talked about it here, be doers of the word, not hearers only, because when we're doing search and rescue, a lot of what we are able to find comes from here, and if somebody up there is doing that, then you don't hear what you could hear when you're, you know, looking for somebody. And so these are things that to be good at search and rescue, I teach them from the beginning. Y'all don't need to be talking. You need to keep your head on a swivel, keep your eyes open, and your mouth closed. Try telling that to teenagers. Keep your mouth closed. They can do it if they try real hard. Kind of like us as adults. We can keep our mouth closed and not say hurtful things if we put our mind to it. All right? And so that is just a little glimpse into the heart of Pastor James from the first century church in Jerusalem, and I like that. Be slow to anger, slow to speak, all right, but always quick to listen and to learn. And that's the life that God can bless. Amen. Father God, I thank you.